We're going to take a short break for one of our sponsors. I haven't tried this one, but it looks well worth checking out if weight loss has been an ongoing challenge for you. Robody pairs medication options with diet and exercise modifications to achieve your desired goal. Before being prescribed any medication, patients complete an online medical visit, lab test, and more to see if you're right for their program. You can sign up online, which means no scheduling a doctor's appointment, no commute to the doctor's office, and no waiting rooms. Their data shows that average weight loss is 15 to 20% in 1 year with healthy lifestyle changes. BMI and other eligibility criteria apply. Go to ro.co/untangle. Sign up today and you'll pay just $99 a month for your first month and $145 a month after that. Medication costs are separate. That's ro.co/untangle. Now, back to our show. We're taking a short break to tell you a little bit about the 10% Happier podcast hosted by my friend Dan Harris. It has one guiding philosophy. Happiness is a skill you can learn, so why not master it? I recently talked to him on our show about what has changed since he wrote 10% Happier 10 years ago. A lot. Dan was once a fidgety, skeptical journalist, but after suffering a panic attack on national television, he decided to change his life. This journey led him to learn everything he could about the human psyche. Now he's on a quest to help others achieve peace and happiness. Each week, he talks to top scientists, meditation teachers, and even the odd celebrity, exploring topics like productivity, anxiety, enlightenment, psychedelics, and relationships. He's funny, he's smart, he's one of the best interviewers I know. Think of listening to 10% Happier as a workout for your mind. The 10% Happier podcast is available wherever you listen to podcasts. Welcome to Untangle, the podcast from Muse, the brain-sensing headband that helps you meditate, and five-star app Meditation Studio. I'm your host, Patricia Karpis, along with my co-host, Ariel Garten, every other week-ish. We're hoping that your meditation practice is giving you what you need to stay more calm, grounded, and resilient wherever you are. And if you're new to meditation or you want to deepen your practice, now's a great time to check out the Muse headband at choosemuse.com. Muse tracks your brain, heart, breath, and body during meditation to give you real-time feedback. Try it to track your sleep as well. Now, on to Ariel.
Welcome to another Untangle podcast. My fantastic guest today is Dr. Stephen Gundry. He's one of the world's top cardiothoracic surgeons and a pioneer in nutrition. And he spent the last two decades studying the microbiome and understanding how improving your gut can improve your life. Also, he is a Muse user. He meditates with Muse and he let me know that his Muse is by his bedside. It made me very excited. You may know him as the author of many New York Times best-selling books, including The Plant Paradox and The Longevity Paradox. And today, we're here to talk about his brand new book, hot off the press, The Energy Paradox, What to Do When Your Get Up and Go Has Got Up and Gone, which honestly is how a lot of us have been feeling these days. So in the upcoming conversation, we're thrilled to be talking to Dr. Gundry, and we're going to learn about what you can do from a nutrition perspective to increase your energy and your mood. And it is not what you think. Welcome, Dr. Gundry.
Thanks, Ariel. I'm happy to be here. Got your band actually sitting by my bed. So there you go.
It's a joy and a pleasure to have you, because for a lot of us, our get up and go truly has got up and gone these days.
It sure has. Who would have guessed, huh?
I know. So what's one of the first things that you recommend to somebody who is feeling like they could use a little bit more zip in their lives?
There's many factors that go into why most of us are tired and fatigued and just don't have the energy that we thought we ought to have. Many of us think our modern lifestyle or COVID, this is normal to feel like this. But in fact, my research and that of many others has shown that this tiredness is not normal. And it's actually a sign that something is really wrong deep inside. There's two things that I think are really important for people to understand. One is that Hippocrates, the father of medicine, 2,500 years ago, said all disease begins in the gut. And how that guy could be so smart that long ago without our sophisticated tests, he knew that, for instance, our mood came in our gut, our illnesses came from our gut. And we now know that he was absolutely right, that most of our issues, including being tired and including having depression or anxiety, actually stems from gut dysbiosis, which is a fancy way of saying that the microbiome within our gut is all screwed up. And number two, from leaky gut. Leaky gut is not some pseudoscience name that, if you'd asked me 15 years ago, that's what I would have called it. Leaky gut really underlies most of our health issues that occur in us, including tiredness, including moods that aren't what we would want them to be. And I talk a lot in the book, in The Energy Paradox, about the what we used to call the gut-brain connection, but we now have expanded it to the microbiome-gut-brain connection. And it's the microbiome's contribution to all this that really is, I think, exciting for all of us who want to improve our mood, want to get rid of our tiredness. And that's what the book concentrates on.
So this is a very fascinating and maybe earth-shaking concept that the billions of little bacteria that are living in your stomach are in large part contributing to your mood and your energy. Can you tell us how that works? Break down the science of what's going on there.
It turns out that for years we've now understood, and most people have heard of probiotics, which are friendly bacteria, and you eat your yogurt and you get your probiotics. More and more people are beginning to hear the concept of prebiotics, which are the fibers that the probiotics eat. But what's really exciting, and it actually won the Nobel Prize for Medicine fairly recently, is the discovery of postbiotics. And postbiotics are, for lack of a better word, the farts that bacteria make when they eat prebiotics. And this postbiotics, which are both short-chain fatty acids and a lot of gases, like hydrogen gas, like hydrogen sulfide gas, like methane, actually constitute a language, a true language, where the microbiome, those 100 trillion bacteria that live in your gut, talk to the mitochondria, which are the energy-producing organelles in most of our cells, and they literally talk to our neurons in our brain. And they actually tell your neurons what to do. They tell your mitochondria what to do. And the absence of these postbiotics have now been shown to underlie a great deal of our depression, our anxiety, our anger, our sleep disturbances. And reconstituting these postbiotics and reintroducing them by giving bacteria what they want to eat can actually dramatically impact mood and energy. And I mean, it's so far out there, crazy Star Wars, that these single cell organisms could have that much effect on our upper level functioning as a thinking, feeling human being. But it happens.
So in short, what you're saying is we're feeling depressed and grumpy in part because we don't have enough bacteria farts.
Yeah, that's basically what I'm saying. And Dr. Daniel Amen, who's become a friend of mine, who's probably one of the great psychiatrists who focuses on brain health, now is also convinced that we probably should discard even these concepts of mental illness. And we should, in fact, concentrate on a gut illness that is being manifested in our brain as mood changes.
Let's dig down even deeper, because this is both a shocking concept and for people who don't really understand the relationships between a bacteria in your stomach and what goes on in your head, can you actually break down the biology of that a little bit further? Take us through the pathways, not in detail, but in a way that we can understand the pathways that move a bacteria's effluvium to be able to communicate with our brain and trigger a change.
Let me use a great example that I use in the book that I think just is mind-blowing in a way. We know that we're having an epidemic of dementia and Parkinson's in this country and Alzheimer's. And a Japanese study recently looked at the gut microbiome of people with Parkinson's disease and compared them to the gut microbiome of normal people. And lo and behold, the gut microbiome of people with Parkinson's disease did not produce hydrogen gas. They did not have bacteria that made hydrogen gas out of eating fiber. And so they got the clever idea of giving these people with Parkinson's hydrogen water, which is literally hydrogen dissolved in water. And it's actually easy to do. I even make a tablet that dissolves hydrogen in water at GundryMD, but that's off the point. So they gave these people hydrogen water to drink, and lo and behold, their Parkinson's symptoms got better just because they were exposed to hydrogen. And hydrogen is the world's smallest molecule. It's diffused through the wall of our gut after it's being made by bacteria. And it enters our circulation and it actually keeps neurons alive. It gives neurons things to eat. And without hydrogen gas, these neurons in Parkinson's patients were dying. And just because bacteria weren't making hydrogen gas for them. Wow.
Wow. And so that really speaks to the way that we must have co-evolved with bacterium in our stomach and these particular bacterium that are salubrious, healthful for our brains and bodies. What has changed that has so dramatically changed our microbiomes?
Yeah, you're right. We are a symbiotic organism. They require us. They need a safe place to live, and they need us to feed them. But at the same time, we need them. And it's interesting. I had Donald Kessler, who used to be the head of the FDA, on my podcast, the Dr. Gundry podcast, a few weeks ago. And he and I were reminiscing that when we were in medical school, we thought the gut was just a hollow tube that you absorbed sugars, proteins, and fats through, and whatever was left over was junk that came out your rear end. And it was pretty simplistic. And none of us knew until the Human Microbiome Project that there was this teeming tropical rainforest of hundreds of thousands, at least 10,000 different bacteria alone, and probably as many different fungi as bacteria in this tropical rainforest that is part and parcel with this organism. So what's happened? Well, number one, we take a lot of broad spectrum antibiotics. And unfortunately, unbeknownst to us, broad spectrum antibiotics not only kill the bacteria that we thought we ought to kill, but they wipe out this entire tropical rainforest. It's like dropping napalm on them. And just like a forest fire, you could plant a bunch of little pine trees, but it would take 20 to 30 years to get a mature forest back. And so we've been naive to think that, oh, we have to take antibiotics for whatever. It can take up to 2 years to get even a start of a diverse microbiome going. The second thing is that, unfortunately, antibiotics are in most of the animal products that we eat. And even though there's been some recent changes in the law, it's still quite legal through some loopholes to give antibiotics to chickens, even though it's illegal technically, and give antibiotics to pigs and cows to make them grow faster. And little did we know that those antibiotics are in the flesh of these animals. And when we eat them, we again kill off our microbiome. Third thing that's happened, which may be the worst, is the addition of Roundup glyphosate into almost everything that we eat. It is now not a GMO spray that's sprayed on GMO crops, it is sprayed on all conventional crops, all wheat, all oats, all corn, all soybeans, all canola for improving harvest. And Roundup, actually, glyphosate was patented as an antibiotic. Most people don't know that. And it kills our microbiome. So we have set ourselves up to destroy a co-inhabitant of us that little did we know is critical in keeping our brain happy and keeping our mood proper and even controlling our hunger. Can I tell you a fascinating story on that?
Tell me.
There were many theories of where hunger came from. And back when we were really uninformed, we thought that hunger was because, oh, your stomach shrunk and you would get these signals that go to your brain that you're hungry. And subsequently, we learned that that wasn't true. And then we found some hormones that controlled that. And subsequently, we learned that that wasn't very important. And then, as I've written about in the Plant Paradox, we learned that bacteria can actually control hunger. And you have essentially two sets of bacteria, what I call your gut buddies, which are the good guys, and the gang members. And the gang members have actually very different tastes than the gut buddies. The gang members love simple sugar and they love saturated fats. And they actually send messages to your brain for you to seek out simple sugar and saturated fats. And you can prove this by actually doing fecal transplants. And you can take a skinny marathon runner and give her the microbiome of her cousin who was 30 pounds overweight to save her life from C. difficile. But this skinny marathon runner in the next year gained 30 pounds despite still running marathons, all because she got the fat microbiome from her cousin.
Wow. So it's the bacteria that made you do it.
Yeah, they see, isn't that great? I mean, the bacteria made me do it.
It's not willpower. There's nothing wrong with you. You're not broken. There's nothing wrong with your genes. It's the bacteria that made you do it.
That's exactly right. And what's really exciting that I talked about in the book is some Chinese researchers said, if bad bacteria can make you hungry and go seek out certain foods, I bet you good bacteria will do the opposite. So they took people and put them on a 14-day water fast. That's all they got. And they gave them 100 calories a day of prebiotic fiber. Now, just remember, we do not digest prebiotic fiber. Our gut buddies eat it. And what they found was, despite not eating for 14 days, these people were not hungry. They had no hunger pains. They had no stomach growling, no nothing, because they were given their gut buddies what they needed to eat. And the gut buddies sent the message to the brain, hey, you covered our ass. We're good. You don't have to go looking for food. We got everything we need. Thanks very much. And if you think about that, giving the good guys what they want to eat lets you off the hook for being hungry. It's really exciting how these guys, it's hard to say, really control our life as long as we let the good ones control our life.
So that begs the natural question, what should we feed the good guys? What should we be eating in order to support our healthy bacteria?
As I've shown in my other books, and I talk about this again, believe it or not, you can change your microbiome from gang members to good guys in 3 days only. By literally starving the gang members of what they want to eat, which is simple sugars and fats, and that's called processed foods. And if you give them what they want to eat, which is primarily prebiotic fiber, which is easy to come upon, you can use, for instance, ground up flax seeds, you can use psyllium powder, you can eat inulin-containing vegetables like asparagus is in season right now. Have a bunch of asparagus. Have chicory vegetables, things like radicchio, things like Belgian endive, things like sunchokes or Jerusalem artichokes. Have some jicama. It's a great source of prebiotic fiber.
By the way, after reading this from you, I have had jicama every single day. It comes in our organic basket, and I love it.
Yeah, it's just so easy. It's sweet. It's crunchy. Most of us want crunchy things. And it's just a great way to get yourself some crunch, but feed your gut buddies exactly what they want. And the more you give them these things, the more of these crazy postbiotics they make. And the better your mood, the better your attitude, the less hungry you are. It's, wow, a win, win, win.
We'll take a short break for one of our awesome sponsors, Born Shoes. I was so excited to try these cute, casual sandals made with top quality leather, perfect for all the traveling that I do. They're so comfortable for walking anywhere. I know exactly why their tagline is, "Take comfort in Born Shoes." Perfect. There are 5 new styles this spring, and I tried Ithaca and absolutely love them. But they also have boots and heels you should try. They feel as good as they look. Go to bornshoes.com today for a 15% discount plus ground shipping on all full price shoes when you use my promo code UNTANGLE. That's promo code UNTANGLE for 15% off and free shipping. Available exclusively to our listeners for just a limited time. Now, back to our show.
Hello, listeners. This is Michael from the Psychologists of the Clock podcast. If you like what you hear on Untangle, let me extend a friendly invitation to check out our show as well. We are 4 experts in psychology that bring you cutting-edge and science-based ideas to help you flourish in your relationships, work, and health. You can find Psychologists of the Clock wherever you listen to your favorite podcasts, and you can visit our website at offtheclockpsych.com.
For a lot of people, this is probably new, the idea that you should be feeding your gut bacteria something. And it's actually a lovely thought for those of us who are mothers or used to feeding and providing for. The idea that we need to be feeding or nurturing our gut bacteria is fascinating. We nurture our plants, we nurture our sourdough starters, we nurture our pets. Now we have a whole new ecosystem to be aware of and nurture and tend and love. What about taking probiotics? I've heard from some gut specialists that simply taking probiotics doesn't actually work that well, even though we might all be cramming down pills.
Yeah, I agree with that. First of all, the vast majority of probiotics never make it past gastric acid alive. They're destroyed. And some studies show that up to 99% of probiotics are destroyed by gastric acid. There are preparations of spore-forming bacteria, which I and others use. But the important thing is, this is an example I use for my patients here in Palm Springs. Let's suppose I sell my patients grass seed, which are probiotics. And they come back a month later and they said, "You sold me bad grass seed because it didn't grow."
Did they water it?
Yeah, I said, "Well, did you water
it? Was it sunny out?"
Yeah. Did you put fertilizer on it? "No, you didn't tell me to." I said, "Well, of course it's not going to grow. This is the desert." And yet people don't realize that these are living organisms and they actually have to have the things they need to grow. And that is prebiotics. So I tell anyone who will listen, look, if you are going to spend your money, spend your money on prebiotics, eat prebiotics, and don't worry about the probiotics. What's very interesting, even if you wipe out your microbiome, and people do all the time, there are little bitty collections of the microbiome in what are called the crypts in the intestines. And they're huddling there, afraid to come out. But if you give them a reason to come out, and that is prebiotics, they'll peek their head out and go, "Oh, look, something to eat. Well, okay, we'll come out." And then the more you feed them, the more they divide, and you'll get back to normal.
So for people who are still attached to their probiotics and who might say, "Yes, but you know, I eat yogurt every day or kefir every day," is it still helpful or does it all just get destroyed by gastric acid?
So it turns out that the reason those things are helpful for you have nothing to do with their probiotic content. And in my next book, which I'm just finishing up, you'll find out why these fermented foods are actually good. And it has nothing to do with the probiotics in them. So there's a teaser.
That is a teaser if I've ever heard one. The scientist in me is dying to ask you the answer, but I will just let us all stay teased.
I'm sworn to secrecy by my publisher.
Amazing. So I'm somebody who, I drink a ton of kefir. I check out which of the strains are inside of my kefir. Are you telling me that it actually doesn't matter what strains are in my kefir and whether I'm eating yogurt that has 2 strains or kefir with 14?
It doesn't matter as long as they did their job in producing compounds that you're actually going to benefit from in those, but it's not the bugs.
Ah, I'm getting the hint here of what's going on. It's all the bug farts in your yogurt.
It's the bug farts in your yogurt. Who knew?
Who knew? Wow. Which is why taking it in pill form is relatively useless, because there's no effluvient and there's nothing that they've produced.
Correct.
But it is in the yogurt and it is in the fermented foods.
Bingo.
Ta-da! Now all of the listeners are sworn to secrecy.
That's right.
Shh. You heard it here in Untangle first, but don't tell anyone. That's awesome. So we spent a little bit and an amazing insight. I can't wait to go drink another kefir shake.
There you go.
By the way, I make my son every day kefir strawberry milkshake. So I just take some grass-fed kefir. I throw a bunch of strawberries in it, blend lightly, and he is in heaven. Like, he thinks this is the best thing in the world. And I've always been slightly concerned. I'm like, I have this like a Vitamix style blender. I'm like, really, I must be killing those poor bacteria in there. There will be enough left. It turns out it doesn't matter.
It doesn't matter. That's not why you do it.
That's good news. Also, I do have to tell you, Dr. Gundry, ever since we met last time, I have since been feeding my son your olive oil and I love it myself. And it's expensive, but it's just so insanely good that I literally have 3 bottles in my cupboard right now. So thank you for that.
Well, thank you. It's the person who produces this and grows it for us. It's just an amazing story of how it came about. And I'm so thankful to have met him and made his acquaintance. Othmane is his name. And he's a 4th generation olive oil farmer in Morocco. And he had the brilliant idea, not to bore you, but he thought that since great wines are made from vines that struggle to exist, that they're planted in rocks and they're underwatered and they're barren soils and their high elevation. He said, I wonder what would happen if we did the same thing to olive trees. So he talked his father into letting him plant an olive grove where the olive trees are right next to each other in hedges in the middle of rocks. And he underwatered them in the Moroccan desert. And lo and behold, he produced an olive oil that has 30 times more polyphenols than has ever been described in an olive oil before. And she was right. And his father thought he was a nut. And so anyhow.
That's amazing. And that also speaks to something that we're discovering about ourselves, that it's through difficulty that we in so many ways thrive. We had Dave Asprey on a few weeks ago talking about fasting. And I know you're a big fasting fan as well. And we talked about the importance of when we starve our bodies in various ways, we grow new capacities and strengths. And we can look at that from the mental perspective, from the physiological perspective. And I think it's such an important thing to remember during this time when we feel emotionally and psychologically starved in so many ways. The fertile produce that may come from this in our lives, both our societal lives and our individual lives.
You're absolutely right. And part of the energy paradox is that we in general do not like to be challenged. Most of our lives are spent trying to avoid challenge. But like Dave would say, and I would say, we're actually designed for challenge. We're designed to stimulate improvement in all of our cellular functioning by little bits of challenge. So you got to view even what appears to be a rather nasty adverse event as something that may actually have some huge benefits when we look back at this, as long as we embrace looking for the challenge to benefit us.
Thank you, Dr. Gundry. That was incredibly insightful. I cannot wait to go make another kefir strawberry milkshake. And not care if I'm killing all the bacteria.
That's right. Don't worry about it. They've done their job. They've done their work.
And eat some delicious jicama and nurture those trillions of beautiful little babies I have inside of my stomach.
There you go. Yeah. With every passing year, I've been doing this now for a long time, it just gets more and more remarkable what these guys do and do for us and how we've pretty much destroyed them.
One last question for our audience in particular. What's the impact of meditation on your microbiome?
Great question. It turns out that there is beautiful data that I showed in the longevity paradox and in the energy paradox that meditation actually changes your gut microbiome for the better. And there's really very cool human studies that show that the gut microbiome changes dramatically when, for instance, soldiers were taught to meditate. And some soldiers did not meditate, and they looked at their microbiome, and they were actually all fed the same food. But the microbiome in the meditators was a much more vigorous, more diverse microbiome than the non-meditators. So just like there is information that goes from the gut microbiome up to the brain, there's information that comes down from the brain to actually the microbiome itself. So it is one of our organs that this is, we're a symbiotic organism and it goes both ways. So that's the exciting part about meditation.
That's fantastic. And I'm sure all the people who meditate regularly or use their muse regularly to help them with meditation will be very excited to hear that not only are they helping themselves in so many ways with meditation, but they're also doing a good thing for their gut.
Yeah. Meditate not only helps your brain, but it helps your gut. And if you help your gut, you help your brain. So, wow.
That's awesome. Thank you so much, Dr. Gundry. This was a joy and a pleasure.
All right, Ariel, good to see you and talk to you again.
Always a joy. That was Dr. Stephen Gundry. His new book is The Energy Paradox and can be found at your local bookseller. He talked about the value of meditation for everything, including gut health. If you want to either start or deepen your meditation practice, Muse can help. Muse is the brain-sensing headband that helps you meditate. It gives you real-time feedback on your brain, heart, breath, and body during meditation, so you can be guided through different states and forms of meditation with real-time feedback from your body. It's used by over 500,000 people worldwide for their meditation practice, and has been used in over 200 studies by places like the Mayo Clinic, who demonstrated that cancer patients using Muse improve their stress, fatigue, and quality of life. It's even on the NASA Mars simulator. If you want to find out more about it, check out choosemuse.com and use the special Untangle discount code MUSESTRESSLESS. We are wishing you and your trillions of gut buddies a week with less stress. Much love.